be 100% honest with me. What'd you think?
Garbage.
What?
I think it was hot garbage.
You're listening to
Hot Garbage.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Hot Garbage Podcast, your weekly music playlist. My name is Drew. Joining me, as always, is the flavor ice to my otter pop, my dear friend Andy.
Hey, what's up, man?
Andy, we're getting ready, as we record this episode, we're getting ready to say goodbye to summer. It's the week before Labor Day.
It's gone. Man, oh man.
Summer 2017. It's one for the books.
It was. It was solid.
It
went by really fast. Man... So, I had to pull something out of my garbage disposal today.
Oh, did you? Oh, that's a scary moment.
I had to take it apart and do it. What was in it will bore you to tears.
Spoon?
Washcloth.
Washcloth.
Just jamming up the mix. I had to get down in there and just wrench it around. And now my sink aerator works again.
Wow. That's how long was it under the weather?
Oh, one day. I've taken that thing apart many times.
I thought you were saying you had to reach your hand blindly to fish out a dish or something like that, and there's that moment of tension where you're extremely vulnerable to hand amputation.
I've gone
with
that
you and your
before.
Little kids. Maybe you lose a finger.
No, I take that whole thing apart. This isn't the first time I've jammed up my garbage disposal.
You try to put a lot of garbage.
Sometimes
down
it's a popcorn kernel.
Oh,
sometimes it's a screw. Today was a washcloth.
Yeah. Sometimes it's a full bowl of leftover macaroni salad.
Oh, man, when it gets all hard and crusty, yeah, that'll jam up the works.
Yeah, that'll muck up the works.
You don't want that in there.
You know what isn't mucked up is this week's episode.
Oh, man, what a great episode.
What a treat for our listeners. It was a treat to be here. Our guests were the band Skulldiver. Sisters Allie and Mandy from Skulldiver were in the studio. Amazing guests. Some of, Hall of Fame hot garbage guests, I would say. Instantly top five. So you're in for a real treat, but we do appreciate you joining us. It means a lot that you have tuned in this week. We hope you like this episode. We think you will. If it happens that you do, please pass along that fact to people around you. Just impose your enjoyment on others, and hopefully they'll pick up on the vibe and listen to the show as well. They can do so by subscribing to it via iTunes. That's the easiest way to get Andy, Nate, and I brought right to your home every week. And you can also leave us some rankings and some stars there. Make sure you mention our silent partner, Nate, and his excellent production skills.
And the best way to support the music that you hear on this podcast is to go see them live. So make sure you go check out Skulldiver and any of the other number of bands we played on the show over the years. We kind of time it, so you might see them in town soon.
Yep. If you're in the Portland area listening, Skulldiver will be playing on September 22nd and also on October 15th. So we'll keep you up to speed on the whens and wheres of checking out Skulldiver. But you can also find them at just Googling Skulldiver band. You'll get all kinds of great information, and it's totally worth it. So hopefully you enjoy our really funny conversation with Skulldiver on this week's episode of Hot Garbage. Enjoy. I was looking at you guys' website, and I was looking at all the bands that you, or some of the bands that you like, are inspired by, and I was really happy to see Failure on there.
Oh,
I don't think a lot of people know Failure. Fantastic Planet is one of my top five albums of all time. I love that.
Is Failure the one that had the naked dude puking in a trash can on the cover?
No, it's like a...
Oh, no, that's Therapy. That's Therapy.
It's like a 1950s, like, spaceman on the cover.
Oh, yeah, I know that album. Yeah.
It's really, really good.
Yeah. Fantastic Planet is fantastic.
What's that?
Fantastic Planet is fantastic.
It's so good. I actually heard about them when they played Lollapalooza. They threw out tapes, and it had like three songs off that album on this tape that they just passed out in like 1995 or something.
Sounds dangerous.
It was them and Hum.
Oh, man. Them and Hum would be awesome.
Yeah.
So you two are sisters, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can see how there would be lots of really positive things about being in a band with a sibling, but what is the worst thing about being in a band with your sibling?
Fight constantly. It's constant, but it's also positive because she's the only person in the world I could be like, you're a bitch.
Yeah, and it's like, what do you want to have for dinner? Time. Yeah, it's like, we'll literally be like slamming doors, like fuck you, I hate you, leave me alone, like, God, you're a cunt, nobody likes you. And like, some of like the worst shit you can say to somebody. And then we're like, you want to go to Taco Bell? Yeah, let's go. Like, instantly after. It's really weird.
That's true. You are allowed to fight with your siblings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Whereas when you're in a more traditional band or a non-sibling band, you have to work with each other. So you can't really vent. So creatively, is there any tension there? Like when you are writing a song, are there disagreements that get pretty heated?
Always.
We had one the other night where she was she showed me this song. It was really great. And I was like, hey, that maybe needs to have a bridge. And she goes,
she's like, fuck you.
Yeah, exactly. She's like, I'm not playing it for you ever again. And I'm like, that was a really good song. What are you doing? At least let me record it on my phone. And she's like, no, I'm never playing it again.
And I didn't. Like, and I went upstairs and went to sleep. That was it.
Did she have a bad attitude about it? Is she telling it in a sterile, cleaned-up version? Was she a real bitch about it?
One, I was hungry. And two, I was sleepy, so I was cranky. So it's like, if you know me, you never try and, like, ask me to do anything, even if it's positive, even if it includes something I need at the end of it, don't ask me to do it if I'm hungry or cranky. Like, just, like, put food in front of my face and let me sleep for a little bit, and then I'll be really nice.
And then we'll have a reasonable conversation about it.
Yeah.
I'm the same way.
It's real.
Lots of tension in the creative process here.
Yeah. Whenever we're like, my biggest fight with my wife is, what do you want to eat?
Oh, my fucking God.
Oh, I fucking lose my mind. Oh, it's worse.
We were just talking about this earlier on the way here with my husband. I was like, I'm like, every day, it's like, what do you want to eat? It's like, no, what do you want to eat?
Oh, man. Does anyone ever really know what they want to eat, though?
Mm-mm. The more I think about it, I always choose wrong. Every time I'm very, very hungry, which you think would be the time you'd like really key in on something. No, I always guess wrong.
Oh, it's the worst time to
pick. It's always unsatisfying.
Mm-hmm. You get really angry, and then you get confused, and then you're lost, and you go through, like, a sweaty period, and then you just pick the closest thing to your body, and you're always upset.
Like, you end up with a $5.
I think that's actually Taco Bell's business model.
Yes. Right?
I think you just described.
We're here.
Yeah. There it is. Okay, whatever.
You end up with whichever's going to get food in your mouth the fastest, and then there's always, like, that, like, end of day, especially as you get older, of, like, shame that happens. I find, like, every year I get older, it's, like, after I eat something really shitty, I'll be, like, there's, like, the shame gets longer. So to go from, like, it used to be, like, 2-second shame.
Yeah,
and now it's, like,
off.
2-day shame where I'm just, like, in a constant state of shame.
Yeah.
And I just keep doing it to myself.
Or when you eat it in your car and you find a wrapper or, like, a hot sauce pack and you're, like, oh. That's when the shame gets real. It settles in 3 days later.
No.
For me, I buy everything at Costco. And then I have to just look at it. I'll be like, oh, no, I didn't buy, like, a cookie. I bought 45 cookies. So I'm just going to have to power through these. And shame's out the window. And now it's like, I gotta make my money's worth.
Commitment.
Yeah. Like, I'm not going to eat all 45, but I got to get, you know, $10.
I'm not
going
to waste it.
Cookie in my body.
And it's a race to expiration, too. So you have to chow down.
Especially in a cookie. It's like, it's going to go hard. Like, you got to.
Yeah. You know who makes the best cookies? Safeway.
It's
probably the only thing they do good on their brand. Their cookies are fucking amazing. I don't know what they put in them, but they're great.
I personally think their hot counter is pretty strong. If you're like a lunchtime grocery store eater, they've got a pretty good General Tso's. They'll make a customized sandwich. It's pretty delicious.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's shit.
Yeah, their sushi is horrendous.
Yeah, it doesn't look good.
Don't do that.
Fred Meyer. Pretty strong sushi.
Yeah, actually.
I actually sat at the train thing in a Fred Meyer.
That's nice.
Which, talk about shame. You're just, you know.
We've all been there.
I mean,
shame. I bring a book with me, and I'm trying to just eat sushi quietly, but I'm in the middle of a grocery store with homeless people all around me. It's not very dignified.
I mean, you definitely, like, I don't know if it's, like, lacking in cool points or, like, if you get extreme cool points for just being like, you know what? It's Hawthorne, Fred Meyer,
this
and, like, fuck everybody.
Yeah. I'm waiting for my bus, which comes in 25 minutes.
I was waiting for that to come into it. We were all talking about the Hawthorne, Fred Meyer in Portland. That's what's happening.
It's my turf.
Yeah. And that one, I was there this weekend. There was a bunch of kids with a giant Lego exhibit set up in the corner.
Ooh,
and it was super
awesome.
Dope. Had all these moving parts and electric motors and stuff. They were doing it. And they started their presentation, and we were the only people there, so we had to sit through
a
20-minute presentation. Because we were the first people, and they were going to do their whole thing. They did good.
That's okay. Cool.
That's good.
I've been there, too, when board games, like board game clubs show up. You get 2 hours in that food court cafeteria before somebody kicks you out, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know who does it. But, yeah, these guys were settled in for a game of Catan for their weekly meetup. And I was like, oh, well, I guess that's neutral ground.
This is good.
There's food nearby.
Dude, I could meet up there. Like, I wouldn't be against if somebody was like, hey, do you want to have a business meeting? And I'd be like, yeah, where do you want to go? I'd be like, well, it's food court, the Fred Meyer. Hawthorne, Fred Meyer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for you.
Always comfortable bench space. Lots of table space if you got to work on a project.
And a surprisingly fancy dessert counter.
I feel like if I was a high school kid, that would have been a hanging spot for me.
Although I feel like nobody buys it's that. It's been there for a long time.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. I forget that, though. If you're ever looking for a fancy dessert, the Hawthorne Fred Meyer, you can't go wrong.
But do you think people actually buy that? Because I feel like it never ships.
I do.
No, it's probably the same cake that they've had in there since day one.
Well, I think we bought one there once. We were like, oh, this looks so good. And then we get it home, we're like...
It tastes like clear nail polish.
It's that carrot cake I smacked across the counter.
Yeah, she got real upset.
You smacked a carrot cake because it wasn't good enough?
It's so gross.
Talk about being grumpy and really
upset.
It was
like a bag of sand, like wood chips.
Like a bag of sand.
And you threw it across the table.
That carrot cake is fucking gross.
Okay, well, this is good. We'll get back to the music for a second. So you talked about the bridge that you angered her by complimenting. So does the tension ever, like, ruin a song? Is it, like, something you could have done well, and then you guys get pissed at each other and... it ruins a song? Or does it always come back to...
I think it always comes back around.
Yeah.
Yeah, we always, by the end of the night, we always resolve everything. It's like, I hate you, but, you know, good night.
Yeah.
we'll get back into this again tomorrow. So.
Yeah, we never look at something and we think, oh, it's like ruined. The only thing that gets close to that is that Mandy goes through cycles of hating her music.
Oh, constantly.
So it's like, she, for the longest time, hated our self-titled that we released in 2015 until we recorded this new album, and now she hates the last album, but she likes the self-titled. So I feel like it's just going
to
be like...
another album out.
Yeah. That's what it is right now. She's like, I hate it. And I'm like, you know why you hated it? Is because you listened to it in your car for like 3 hours a day, every single day, once we got the final mixes back.
Well, I don't hate it anymore.
And she was like super into it.
I say.
And then hated it.
I just want attention.
Do you find it hard to listen to yourself?
Not anymore. I used to find it really difficult, but now I'm like, oh, it wasn't that bad. I see where I've grown, and I see where I want it to go now. So I don't find it too hard. I find it hard to listen to some live stuff that we did years ago.
Oh,
my God. What are you doing?
Damn. Whoever came to our shows back in the day, we're like, sorry, if you're listening.
I'd also like to apologize for Hot Garbage.
Oh yeah, just weekly
for our first performance.
Not even really pretending to how long we've been doing it. Just always, I'd like to apologize.
I hate listening to myself on tape, and I do it weekly to listen to the episode after Nate edits them. And man, you think it would be like game footage, and I'd be getting funnier and more on my shit. But no, I just hate myself.
Yeah, you have to remember as you're listening back. Oh, we want other people to listen to this.
Yeah,
this is where we got to rethink this.
Only I think those gross jokes are funny. And a bunch of people in Japan. What's up, Japan?
Yeah,
Japan likes it. They're down.
That's good. Mm-hmm. I mean, but people in the Hawthorne Fred Meyer who might listen to this,
that
give you
cool.
the side eye. They're like, that guy at the fancy dessert counter is a pervert.
Yeah.
It's Andy.
Yep.
It's Andy. He's over there.
Hey.
Looking at the
great
cakes again. Eating sushi.
Yep. He's got sushi and a burrito. He's just really rolling the dice today. And like a fancy chocolate cake.
That's the ultimate hunger spot.
It is.
You can
and
get
one
everything.
One of those drinks with the, was it called balls with a Z with the little tapioca balls in it?
Like ribbed.
Yeah.
Oh, those are Fred Meyer?
So gross. I don't know.
They
I'm just
are.
Thinking of something gross to pair with chocolate cake. That sounds like a mess.
Some boba tea and chocolate cake.
You put some tapioca balls in a chocolate cake in your mouth at the same time, it's going to be just a sloshy gross mess.
Okay. Sound experienced.
I don't know how to get out of this. I think we should play some music. I think that we'll leave the Fred Meyer cafeteria, though I love it. But you brought some songs to share this evening. What's the first one you'd like to kick us off with?
We did. Which one do you want to do Thomas's song?
Start with Colossus. We just sandwiched Thomas's song.
Okay, we'll sandwich Thomas's song. We can do Colossus, which is off of our last album.
In the city of the sun,
That's a turkey hand. Turkey?
For some reason, I thought you were talking about a literal glove.
Yeah, me too.
Made from chicken. I was like, I don't know what a chicken glove
is. I really love meat. That's like, I just wanted to make gloves.
Anybody else just like steal your mom's cutlets of chicken and just put your hands right through them?
You know? A glove of chicken.
You know, a chicken glove.
Yeah, the salmonella finger. You just walk around and touch everything.
That's a great band name, salmonella finger.
So is chicken glove.
Yeah, chicken glove, salmonella finger.
These are also potential albums, so, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Save this episode. Mm-hmm.
Trademark. Mm-hmm.
Where did you guys grow up?
Utah. Salt Lake City.
Well, we were born.
You can tell from the
Elko.
Tattoos that you are from Utah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. It's yeah. A we clear actually sign. We get that a lot. We get are you Mormon or you grew up Mormon, didn't you? We're like,
yeah.
They're like, yeah, you went that way.
Mm-hmm. It's weird because like when before we were very tattooed, people would hear that we were from Salt Lake, and typically people who asked us, "Oh, you're from Salt Lake? Yeah. Are you Mormon?" They'd be like really excited, hoping that we were, and like no, and then get really disappointed because we used to look like really cookie cutter. But now it's did like they? They're just like they're like, "Oh, did you grow up Mormon?" And I'm like, "Bitch, I know what you're saying. Yeah. I know what you're saying. I'm laying down the tea that you are serving me, and you're making me drink it."
I've heard in Salt Lake City they have the best soda in the land because people don't drink coffee there, so they've got like soda stands where you can go and get your like. Handmade soda.
Salt Lake is the home of the Big Gulp.
I think America is the home of the Big Gulp.
Specifically, Salt Lake is home of the Big Gulp because you cannot go anywhere without seeing somebody with a Big Gulp. Like it's
which is like an 80-ounce soda.
Just like, sir, you are drinking a liter of sugar.
Yes,
sir.
No tall buildings,
and it is definitely
biggest
warm
classes
by now.
Of soda you could find in America.
They make up for it.
Nothing's worse than buildings. Warm Mountain Dew.
A car Mountain Dew.
It's offensive.
Yeah.
So when did was it a musical household growing up? How did the family band start?
Oh, it's a long story. Basically, our dad really had the idea of a grandiose family band. Our brother plays guitar, our little sister plays guitar and sings, our mom played music. I'm very upset at dad about this, and I'm still holding it to his grave. I asked him for a guitar for my 13th birthday, because I was like, I really want to play guitar, and I'd played piano up until this point, and I was like, you know what, I want to be like, cool, this is when I learned, you know, Metallica existed, and I got real gothic. Utah Goth Metallica, and
I love that as like the sound of their genre, like their genre tag. Yeah. You can look them up under Utah Goth.
Utah Goth. And my dad bought me a bass, and I was like, "Dad, did you really? You just bought me a bass, and he gave me a bass." And he's like, "No, you have to play the bass because everybody else plays guitar." And I was like, I just remember like being a little bitch and like instantly crying. I was like.
Dude, bass is sexy. What are you talking about?
It is now.
It
wasn't cool. It wasn't cool back in like 2002.
Well, especially when you want a guitar and you're like asking, he's giving you this gift, but it's really just because it's what the band needs. What's what the family band is missing?
Exactly.
Yeah, basses catch a lot of shit.
Yeah. Oh, I know.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if I would have kept that bass and I eventually like bought my own guitar, right? Because I was a strong, independent woman when I was 13. And I had my own money that I found. Not saying where. Drugs.
Drugs.
And I ended up getting my own. And I feel like if I would have continued down the path of playing bass, who knows where I'd be right now.
For better or for worse.
Yeah. Probably
so it could have gone
for
either
worse.
Way.
We'd probably be in Salt Lake in a family band. Living in our parents' basement.
Laying down some like funky slap bass.
Yeah.
We'd be way more funkalicious than we are.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have to have switched to bass.
Yeah.
What was your earliest favorite music when you were kids?
David Bowie for me and Prince.
Yeah.
Like, I was pretty in love with Jareth the Goblin King, so.
That'll do it.
That was great.
That'll do it. I had the opposite reaction. I was terrified of, you know, because I didn't want to be abducted by a goblin king. But I can see the sort of the sex appeal of David Bowie, 87 or whatever it was.
Man, that movie grabbed me by the brain when I saw it. I was so
Do you remember early in that movie where she's starting to like say this incantation and they cut to this like screen full of goblin faces? Mm-hmm. Oh man, it's creepy.
It's so scary. It
yeah.
I super recently scary. Just watched it again and I was like, oh my god, that bulge gets bigger every time I watch it.
It's huge. It's crazy. Is it seems real? So crazy now.
Yeah, it's nuts.
At the time, I was just like, man, that's just David Bowie. That's what's up.
It's Bowie. Mm-hmm.
So that led you into Bowie, though. You got, like, the soundtrack, and you could dance magic dance, but then you took, you kept going with Bowie?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I loved Bowie, and I really loved Prince, because the other movie I watched constantly was a Goofy movie.
Yep.
And I always thought Powerline was kind of like Prince. Yeah.
So I've never seen the Goofy.
Nice. Oh, it's I have good. Totally seen it a ton of times. Wow. I was really into that show, and it was a cartoon on TV. It was one of the better Disney afternoon cartoons.
I think it's pretty great.
Yeah.
What was the earliest that something you would kind of call Skulldiver started to emerge?
It's when I grew up playing in like metal bands and hardcore bands and stuff like that, and I did write my own music, but it was very much like folky or folk pop. Kind of like I was doing like a lot of Leonard Cohen, Bob Dylan kind of stuff, acoustic and the harmonica. It was super cool. So I think when I stopped playing for other people's bands and stopped doing session musician work, then I started writing songs that had more instrumentation in them, and started writing with Allie. So probably about 5-6 years ago is when the first like kind of Skulldiver-y stuff started.
Yeah.
But I remember writing stuff when we were little that kind of sounds like what we're doing now.
We had a punk band when we were younger. It was called the Freddie Jones Project. Okay. It was super serious. And it was really intense. That was like when we were, 10, 11? We were really young. And just like in this little punk band, it wasn't punk. It was totally like folk music.
It was Utah punk.
It was Utah punk, a.k.a. Yeah, folk. Utah punk. Yeah. And it just kind of like we went our own ways. I went the serial killer route where I listened to a lot of classical and played a lot of classical for a long time. It was a super deep, introverted period of my life. And Mandy moved to another country and like was playing in weird metal bands. And I never got into that kind of music. And then like for some reason she came back and like brought her style. We lived together in Phoenix and we just got super tweaked out on Adderall and wrote an album really, really quick and recorded it all. And that kind of like spearheaded and started it all 5 or 6 years ago.
Cool.
We were talking earlier about the kind of the lists of bands that you put on the website as kind of touchstones. Do you do that for the benefit of other people, or do you feel like those bands really do, like Mazzy Star or Portishead, like they are actually an influence on it? Is it conscious, or is it the answer to the question, oh, what do you sound like, when someone else is asking you?
I think it's a little bit of both.
Yeah.
There are definitely bands that we listen to often, and I feel like when you listen to a lot of different music and you're making your own sound, you kind of pick little pieces from everything and stuff that really moved you about what you heard. Mm-hmm. And I guess those artists that we listed are, it's probably about 50-50 what we sound like and where we get inspiration from.
When you guys were starting this like 5 years ago, were you consciously choosing those artists as a touchstone, or do you even think about that when you're writing a song?
I don't really think about other artists when we're writing necessarily. But 5 or 6 years ago, I guess I wasn't really trying to go for any particular sound. I was just trying to do something that felt natural for the songs that we were writing, and for the stories that we were trying to tell. It's like trying to paint a picture with the sound rather than be like, oh, I want to be a metal band, or oh, I want to be a pop band, or because we're kind of in between all stuff like that. It's really, I don't know.
Well, the majority of like our first songs that we wrote together, we actually wrote, we're recording them as we were writing them. So a lot of them were just like thought streams, basically us playing something and then being like, okay, we're going to layer stuff on top of that. So none of it, our first recordings, nothing was like predefined. Everything was really in the moment, that we just kind of built on top of. And then as we switched out of that and moved to Portland and became Skulldiver, we actually like started to become more methodical and actually thinking about like tonality and how we want things to sound and how we want people to feel when they're listening to it.
So as the recording and writing process become more regimented because of that, is it now very specifically, okay, we were going for this now? And I mean, what does that polish process look like versus the kind of the organic version of it before?
I think the polish just adds organization, but there's still obviously a lot of room to experiment. Every time we do any recordings, even if we have songs that are predefined and we've played them a lot and we know the structure and we know how they're going to sound, we still leave a lot of time for experimenting and just like getting weird and making weird noises. Those are our favorite things to do. So that's always a part of it, is to like obviously give something that's very structured and very good for people to listen to. People can get into it really easy and the, you know, the whole story of the song is really clearly conveyed, but then still being able to pull in those like elements of weird that we really like.
Well, Andy, you're a man who likes weird noises.
I love them.
I can't think of a better segue to some music that you can play for us.
Oh, I got some tunes for you to play as soon as I find them.
This is always an adventure. This is my favorite part of the show.
Me digging through my iPod.
This is why I continue to subscribe.
Ah, yes. Austin, Texas band. Man, this is another band that's hard to categorize. They sound like, to me, if Budgie wrote the soundtrack to a Rocky Horror Picture Show. They are called A Giant Dog. And nice. They just dropped their second album on Merge Records called Toy. It's really good. You should check it out. It's very theatrical and punky and wild. And their videos are just fucking like short films. It's crazy. Super cool. And Drew, this has got some special flavor for you. I don't know if it's this song, but Britt Daniels from Spoon does a lot of collaborations with this band.
Yeah.
So this is a song. There's a great video for this. It's called Bend Over.
I'm not afraid.
impressed with your description.
Thanks.
You really nailed it. I'm curious about stuff like that. I always ask people, like, how intentional, like, what do you want people to experience, like, that are in your audiences? Like, is there something you're trying to get them to connect with very specifically, and you're conscious of tailoring it to a listener? Or is it just for you? Well, and you hope that people connect with it, but it's not necessary.
I think it's really important for a lot of performers to realize, like, when people go to shows, they're really looking for an escape, and they're looking for something that can take them out of everything that's happening outside of those doors. Like, really just, like, pull them into the moment and get them to feel something. I think that's, like, one of the biggest reasons why people like to go to live concerts, as opposed to that and, you know, they're, like, your parents and they have to or something like that. But other people that go, like, your actual hardcore fans, they go to feel something and to be experienced, and we kind of weave that into everything that we do. You know, we don't really play anything live or do anything live, like, everything from visually, the way it looks, to the way we design the set. It's all meant to make people feel something. And whatever it is that they want to feel is angry. Up to them. Anger, like, emotions. We've had some people say some pretty interesting things after of what they felt. One guy was like, "You're not a metal band." I'm like, "You stayed for the whole show. Why did you do
it?" It just dawned on me. You're not a metal band.
Dude, go home. You could have left at the first pop ballad. He was like, came up, arms crossed, like, "You're not a metal band." I was like, "Why? Who told you I was a metal band?"
Like, you had invited him on the premise that you were a metal band personally.
Yeah. You're going to love this band. They're definitely a metal band.
It's our name. Like, I think there's at least three metal bands in Portland that have a similar name. And we are very, very, very not metal. And we've had a few, like, local publications, like, categorize us as, like, psych metal. Mm-hmm. We're very not metal. Metal's very specific. Let's be real here.
Yeah, I'd read things about the band before I'd listened to the band. And it was way different than the words that people use to describe it.
Very different.
Like, psych rock, I think of something totally different. I think of, like, little jangly guitars and you know, kind of what garage rock has become. And that is not at all what...
Oh, you know who's killing it right now in the psych realm? South America.
Really?
South American heavy psych is so good, and there's many bands just coming up all over the place. Argentina and Peru.
Colombia. Bulgarians?
Yeah.
They were great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when we played Sabretooth, they were on the second night bill, and we went back and saw them, and they were phenomenal, like, insane. Nice. Super amazing.
Well, that's interesting, too. Do you find yourselves paired up with a lot of different kinds of bands? I mean, is there, like, a... are you always the outlier in the bills you play?
It always oddly fits, because our music is very dynamic in songs and then also from song to song. So it's like, you know, we fit with a lot of different types of bands. Like,
I don't fit, like, on this song, but wait three more songs.
Wait. It's going to get heavy again. Don't worry. Uncross your arms. It's fine.
Breathe in the pop music.
Sorry.
It was promised metal music.
Yeah.
It was not enough double bass.
Somebody found me after the show.
He had to.
He was there all night. He was really upset.
He was fuming, and he held on to that anger.
It's weird, because it wasn't really anger. It was more like sadness. You know, like, it was, like, really deep. Like, it was like, you're not metal.
It's like, I get out of the house, like, once a month, honestly. Like, I can't take these kind of risks with my social life. I get one shot at this.
We're like, you should have probably recognized that when you're walking into, like, a show that literally has, like, tons of drag queens and, like, beautiful people dancing around, like, covered in sparkles and half naked. Like, that might not be a metal show. It might. I don't know. I haven't been to one in a long time. But the ones I have been to are not that way.
Do venues give you trouble for the amount of sparkles involved in your show?
The only time is when we threw the Sparkle Bitch ball. And that's because
someone clogged the toilet with glitter.
With
in
glitter?
The men's room. Yeah.
But they had vomited up, actually. It was all from the gut.
They, like, they were clogged plastered too. The men's bathroom. And it was the men's bathroom. The women's bathroom was totally, like, clean.
It's always the men's bathroom.
They were using craft glue.
Well, let me tell you, that's an improvement at Kelly's. Their bathroom is a nightmare. I've had to take horrible shits in there, and there's no doors on those stalls. It sucks.
Oh, this was at Holocene. They charged us.
Oh, Holocene? Okay, I thought you were at Kelly's.
I felt really bad for Gina. I was like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah, the glitter doesn't usually get everywhere. That shit's usually glued to my face, and I can't get it off.
Well, let's play a little more music. I know you brought a couple more tracks. What's another one that you would like to share?
We'll listen to one because we were talking about weird noises.
And we were talking about sandwiches.
And we weren't.
I was.
But you brought it back.
I like it.
It's we're talking about weird sandwich noises.
Just for our listeners who may not make the connection, because it is tenuous at best, Mandy's learning how to weave puns into conversation organically.
I'm tried to drop a callback.
So, yeah, exactly, yeah.
So go back to the
joke
beginning.
That Allie did not pick up on and no one else did. So, again, it's a learning process. You're seeing the act of creation happen right here.
Yeah, but we're going to sandwich this song. Are you happy? This is so she doesn't yell at me later. We're going to sandwich this song in the middle, and it's actually a really dear friend of ours, and he only became a dear friend because he's phenomenal and absolutely an incredible, wonderful musician, and this is a song off of his last album. What's the name of it? Rinse the Sea?
Rinse to the Sea. It's by Another Night. Thomas Gardell, he sang a couple of songs with me on our last record.
Stronger, the sun ready to dawn.
on tour in October. Have you considered quasi-abducting tour boys for based on their dancing skills? Will you, you know...
Do you bring dancers with you? Is that what you're asking?
We're bringing a dancer. We're going to bring a dancer, the guy who just played.
Nice. Yeah, he's going on tour with us. Yeah. So he's going to be our tour boy.
Yeah.
Nice. A little bit.
We're going to get him a shirt that says Backstage Bitch.
Nice.
I don't think you've told him that yet.
He will find out when he listens to this.
He will find out on tour. Yeah.
We'll love it. Is this your first tour?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where are you headed?
Down the West Coast, partying in Las Vegas at a naked pool, and then...
That's crazy. I didn't know there were naked pools in Vegas.
There is. There's a lot of them. It is amazing.
I had no idea.
This is like a naked European pool. We're about to make it really weird.
This is the best kind of naked pools.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thoroughly
excited.
Fingers crossed
for Eastern European naked pools. Yeah. That's where...
Drew was recently in Vegas at a pool party. And he thought he could just kick back and read.
I went to Vegas. I went to Vegas with my family, actually. They're from the Midwest, and we met there for 4 days. So it wasn't going to be like a crazy Vegas experience anyway. But we were going to, we're going to have fun. They're fun-loving people. But I thought during the day we could just chill at the pool, and I could read, and I could just have that relaxing part of a vacation. But every pool there is just like six DJs. And just pumping music as loud as you possibly can for every minute that they're open from like 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. And they close at 5 p.m. too. That's the other thing that threw me off is they will kick you out at 5.
I just want to know why you thought you could go to Vegas and read. Weird there. Like,
they discourage that.
They actively discourage it.
They're blasting advertisements at you.
You always hear about how the casino floors are laid out to be disorienting and there's no windows, there's no clocks, but the whole city is like that.
Yeah.
There's noise coming at you at all times. Always a visual stimulation. They don't want you thinking clearly or rationally for even 1 second.
That's where the best hired killers come from Vegas.
The ones that can really focus through
they
all that.
Focus, yeah, you could do all kinds of stuff. They would just murder
I think it would be
you.
Really easy to be a hired killer in Vegas. I think people would be really... People are just like...
People are open to it.
Overwhelmed anyway. Yeah, they're easy to kill.
Their minds are already free.
If wolves got loose on the strip, it would be a field day for them.
If robotic wolves... Ziplined through that light up ceiling with
That's
laser
what it
beam
would
eyes.
Take, yeah.
Nobody would care.
Right. Right. They'd be
like,
Bellagio
fuck yeah.
Fountain.
Like, hell yeah, Chris Angel. My mind is freak as fuck.
How did you get? Yeah. How did you get set up with this naked pool party as one of your tour shows?
Facebook.
Oh.
Most things that come to us come from Facebook, which is.
I'm way underutilizing social media.
Facebook is like.
I use Facebook like crazy
Jesus
still. Yeah.
I'm serious. Like. The craziest things happen. Like, even today, I was talking to a KEXP DJ, and I was just like, friends on Facebook. Now we're talking. Oh, okay. Now we're going to go up and probably play in live studio at KEXP.
Oh, that's amazing. They do such a great job. That's cool.
Yeah. And it's like notorious hard to get on there. And like, it's like little things like Facebook, like the Crystal Show.
Yeah.
Facebook.
Nice.
Like, she found us on Facebook.
It does. My Facebook doesn't work like that because I'm horrendously unpopular on my own.
No, she really. It's because you're horrendously unfunny. Like, you're horrendously.
No one gets my puns.
Well, that's on brand.
Yeah,
I'm gonna make
there's
it
a lot of
sandwich joke later.
Good morning, everyone.
Like, my feed is lit, and people are always saying like, "Oh my god, you're so funny," and I'm like, oh, "Thank you." And then nobody likes any of Mandy's posts unless they're about me.
Yeah,
it's just a fact.
So which one of you runs the other Skull Diver accounts? There's the band page, and then there's the Facebook that's just Skull Diver.
That's me.
Okay.
Yeah, she changed her name so she could go on Tinder and mess with people.
Yeah. I wanted us to go on band dates with people on Tinder.
Yeah, we wanted to go as a group.
We were going to take them out to like a nice seafood dinner. Mm-hmm. Like
them again.
You had the greatest Facebook post of probably 2017 the other day. And it said, I was walking by and a homeless guy pointed at me and said, stop, hammer time. And then he smoked some crack.
They're like, shout out to the crackhead on the corner. Because that shit happened to me at 7:30 in the morning.
Wow.
I was like, talk about being like Vegas, I was delirious and I didn't know where I was going. I thought he was gonna like rob me, but then he was like,
it was 7:30 in the morning to you, it was like noon to that dude.
Like, I died. I went into work and I just remember walking in, and I work for a cannabis technology company, so everybody there is typically like they're all kind of like off the beaten path people. But like, I just walk in and I'm like sitting down, like, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm fucking fantastic. Like,
I really
what just happened? It was amazing. Like,
not as good as that guy.
This is, yeah, that guy's having a blast. Man, that's like my future. It's my spirit animal.
Wow. What is cannabis technology?
Like the point of sale system that a retailer uses.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say like cannabis lasers. The
joint rolling robot.
Oh, man,
or something
I wish.
Like that.
Weed laser. You just pointed at somebody's eye and they're high as fuck.
They came strapped in on the heads of wolves.
Yeah. They zip line through the Vegas Strip. Yeah. Just getting people high as fuck.
Just scanning people with high lasers.
Oh, no. It's the weed wolves.
Where am I? Man.
They have to be colored lasers so that people can try to dodge them.
Oh, the green lasers.
Oh, no.
Man.
So that's not cannabis technology.
No.
I missed an opportunity there to make myself seem way cooler, and I want to rewind. Can we delete that? I gotta do that again. Damn.
It starts with a wolf.
I'm like, nah, I sell the register. It's way cooler.
Oh, okay.
You go beep, boop, boop, and the shit pops out, and then they sell you the stuff.
Nice.
That's what
Which
I
is
do.
Also very important.
It's very important.
It's very important, especially in Portland with such a crazy system with the OLCC. We don't need to get into this right now, but everybody who knows, who lives in Portland, the OLCC is into some archaic bullshit paperwork, and they need to get on it.
It's an evolving space.
It's right, OLCC. I called you out.
Yeah.
Please don't shut down our podcast.
OLCC on blast. Even though we've often on distributed blast. Alcohol to minors.
Yeah. Yeah.
On blast.
On blast.
Calling you out, OLCC.
Yeah.
Bring it.
You're suspect.
Yeah. Is it going to be like a dance off, please?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you can come.
We're
going to
have a floss off
show.
And we'll see who's more flossy. I think it's pretty much us, guaranteed.
100%. Yeah. You're always, look at you right now, Andy.
I'm flossing.
You're flossed out.
Oh, God, I can't stop.
You're like
flossing.
A dentist's son. You're so flossed.
That's right. There's just like string hanging out of my mouth. It's gross. We've gone so far off track.
Literal,
love this podcast.
Literal floss. Okay.
Andy, take us out with some music. Pull us out of the tailspin. That's always a salve for this weird shit.
That sounds like a tasty sandwich. Let's see.
You're really making your imprint on this episode.
Oh, man.
This episode's called Sandwich.
Yeah. I cannot go 1 second longer without playing something off the new Mike Bogan album.
Okay.
He just dropped Pool Party, and by the time this comes out, it'll be old news. Well, not old news, but it won't be brand new like it is right now.
It won't be the hottest shit in Andy's iPod.
No. And, dude, he teamed up on a track with one of my other favorite rappers, Michael Christmas.
Oh.
The song's called Gravy.
Wow, wow, do more than fight when they come and take it. It's more to life than a fucking paycheck. And I'm still on the shelf with no frame, flying stealth with no shame. And I'm still putting wealth before fame. And that'll never change in the same, they always forget to mention. It seems that my passion may overcome my intention. I'm now attending classes, I'm hoping they end attendance. And making sure you niggas stay attentive and pay attention. I'm sensing that I'm high, I guess it's best to fess up. Excuse me, but my ride has just arrived in a Tesla, and I'm kinda in a rush. I've been hard to touch, and I'm with this black and Asian chick eating fuck, probably finna fuck. You fill your cup when you thinking is the pain over. The morning's tough when you drinking through the hangover. The bitch is rated, say I'm sorta handsome. Went from a South Dakota basement to a Portland mansion. Now focus, I'll take advantage if all need be. More broken than lens pieces and Tom peeping. More binging than shot seeking and raw seaweed. More wisdom than raw fiki and dashikis. And it's funny when I grind hard, I hold on to Keith. Punching every time car, so gone the trees. Funny how this broke nigga hold on to dreams. Or maybe dreams hold on to me. And this may be the last.
I never went to school, I always laid in bed. Thinking about getting famous, thinking about getting head. This beat is way too crazy to not say some gravy. To not say some wavy with disrespect to wave. Baby, ironic how I'm out of shape. Flexed up, mixed the good with kinda outfit with the bait. Hottest piece off the oven, cheese falling off the plate. Slow pace, bet I move like Sonic for the cake though. Hey and ho, he ain't know this and that and the other. Bet I get this pair of Gucci goggles, I can fuck him. On the west side, know it's about to be some trouble. Getting no sleep, just thinking about the bubble. Pop, then we did it. Celebrate like when Pops left the prison. Watch my life with the popcorn, shit is lit. Then a bitch, shit, I ain't finna finish.
I don't think I don't think I'd want to be captured by the Google trucks. I don't think that I'd.
Well, it's because of all your Drew crimes.
That's right.
Drew has a side podcast called Drew Crime, where he has to commit a crime every week.
Yep, one crime.
And if he doesn't, he's put in prison for life.
We're talking about like petty crimes, or like what kind of crimes?
They started petty, but he's up pretty high now. Now it's like, you know, yeah, grand larceny.
Now I get. Now I take two chocolate milks when I do my grocery shopping and drink them without paying for them.
He eats a couple donuts while he walks around.
But it's gotten pretty. The show's gotten pretty popular, so I have to wear like a headset on while I'm doing this stuff. It's become harder to commit the crimes.
A lot of GoPro cameras in that rig.
Yeah. No. Have you guys committed any? Well, you talked about stealing cars as a child.
Have we gotten into the crime
like
section?
Was that just joyriding in middle school like we did growing up? Or was there some intention to get across state lines?
No, not really any intention. Just kind of generally being a dickhead. Like, mm-hmm. I would find cars that were easy to steal, like Camrys and stuff like that. Like, really old ones.
Reliable.
Everybody has them.
We took them very far. We drove them backwards around the neighborhood and put them back perfectly in their place.
And these were strangers' cars. We would steal parents' cars, but you would just take...
I'd take a parent's car.
One stranger car.
That's pretty legit, though.
Yes, it's very bad. We were just... it's like a dickhead move. You know, like, I did a lot of dickhead moves when I was a kid, and I look back now, and I'm like, man, that was fucking rude. I poured like oil in this girl's pool once because I didn't like her, and my friend Shay broke into her car and like peed in her seat.
That's pretty good though. That's
pretty
funny.
Ruthless.
That's a victimless crime.
I knew a girl in high school who took a shit and then wiped it all over somebody's door handle randomly in the parking lot.
Cars,
basically Fred Meyer. It was called Meyer in Michigan. Weird coincidence. And then she sat in her car and watched the lady come.
Oh.
And when she opened her door, she was like jumped out the window and was like, "Ha ha, bitch!" And then they followed her home and yelled at her when she went in her house.
That's an amazing poop swipe story.
Yeah.
I've had one.
It's too much.
A here in Portland, right next to Fred Meyer, actually. Hawthorne and Fred Meyer coming back around.
Well, you were just putting your groceries in your car and you had to poop and just let it go on the.
God,
see what happens.
I wish it was that cool. No, I parked like a dick, like backwards, like on the opposite side of the street. Like, it's like a total like dick parking job right outside of our apartment building. And I woke up the next morning to literally somebody like shat on my window.
Damn.
Like the front of my window of my BMW. And I was like, had to go to work. And I was just sitting there staring. I'm like,
that's human.
Oh my God.
I was
that's
so happy
human
someone pooped
shit.
On your BMW. I was
somebody
like, yeah,
shat
get
on
that.
It. I totally like dick parked
it?
In a BMW.
I watched her pick it up off the windshield with a sock.
Dude, no, that's this is like not even like this is like some next level shit. Like literally, we're literally talking about next
it was
level
on top.
Because
it was perfect.
The way that they had to position their fucking body to like take that
they
poop,
didn't do it on.
Like perfectly.
Oh, you think they pooped somewhere else?
No.
Else they put it there.
No.
So Allie, you think that they were on top of the car? It all happened there at site.
There was footprints on the hood of my car.
Oh, I see.
I know. Where they pooped, like those footprints.
Nice.
Were they okay? So it's this hard without seeing me, but were they like widespread feet with their hands on top of the roof?
That's where
so
I think happened.
Hovering over the windshield, that kind of style. No,
like you actually, you've done this before. Because was this you? Because this is like literally like exactly
how many
I
kernels of corn
it.
Were in this turn? Exactly.
Oh man, think about the rage in that person's heart.
Dude.
When they were just like, oh, I'm gonna stop what I'm doing for my day right now. And force a shit out on this car.
I think it was they felt like I was gentrifying the neighborhood and parking like a dick. And I was. I was parking like a dick in a BMW. Therefore, I was doing both of those things. And the worst part of it, honestly, was the fact that they had gone out of their way to get it under the windshield wiper.
Oh,
so
it
hit
that?
Me double time
wow,
when it was raining.
That's why I think
you
they
pop
put
that
it
wiper
there.
Blade up. Oh, man. So that's a pro tip to anyone going to shit on anybody's windshield later. Pop those windshield wipers up first before you do it.
Yeah,
just let them smack down in there.
Oh. Well, I thought I had got it all. But then, like, I'm, like, driving to work, and it started raining, and I turned the windshield wiper on, and it was like...
No.
And she was out of fluid. She was out of wiper fluid.
Oh,
but I just remember, like, texting Mandy, and I, like, went home early that day. I was like, fuck, man.
You
they replaced
shook
all the wiper fluid
shook.
With piss. It was a real dick move. They really thought about it.
I forgot about that. Thank that you for reminding me. I'm gonna talk to you about that again later.
Yeah.
Bring up some awful memories.
It must have been like just the dead of night that did this too, because it takes, you know, more than a second to get up there, plop one out, and put it under the wipers. And no one stopped them.
It was right next to
there might have been a group cheering them on.
I mean, think about it. I was parked like a dick. Like, would you stop somebody if you saw somebody parked like a dickhead? Like, kind of like all janked out in like a tiny street, and like obviously people had to like go around the car.
Having their car shit on, would I stop that person?
Yeah.
No.
I can.
But you would help them.
No, never.
You gotta commit
there's
one
no
crime
situation
a week.
Under which I would stop somebody from shitting on a car because I don't want to mess with that person. Like, I'm not that kind of good Samaritan. Yeah. Hey, it's really
sir,
funny.
Sir or ma'am.
Yeah.
Sir or ma'am, stop.
Yeah. Stop doing that. I'm not going to tackle them.
No, no way.
That's not where you poop.
That's not where you poop at all. On the other side of that, though, whenever I see a car shittily parked, it does something to my stomach.
It gets a gurgle going, yeah.
Yeah, and I just stand close to their car until they leave, and then I shit on it.
I've done it enough that it's like a Pavlovian response now. It's like drinking a glass of milk for me or having a cigarette. It really gets things
Wait,
moving.
Drinking a glass of milk? That's a thing?
I've lost my battle with lactose.
Oh, I get you. Okay,
it's over now. I love milk. I'm like a child in that way, but it's gone. It's over. Mac and cheese, sorry.
I don't drink milk anymore, but I do take my weekly milk bath to keep my skin nice and smooth.
Yeah. Flossing.
Gotta stay flossy.
Everybody's gotta glisten. It's okay.
Other than having your car shit on, do either of you have any other embarrassing vomit or shit stories you would like to share on the program?
Dear God.
Would you like to immortalize really embarrassing stories? This used to be a much bigger part of the show, but we found people were deeply uncomfortable with this.
Yes. Deeply uncomfortable when you start talking about people like shitting on things.
I'll break the ice. Yeah. I ran Hood to Coast, the relay race this past weekend, and you run over, you know, from the top of Mount Hood to the coast in the course of a day. And there is so much shitting that happens as a part of this experience.
Really?
It's incredible. Like, honey buckets at every, like, stop along the way, and I've never seen so many full honey buckets.
What?
You've also never seen so many, like, very healthy-looking people just being very open about just holding their stomachs and just, like, letting them rip. Like, these are people that would never, ever poop outside of their one bathroom in their home.
Yeah. When you're running, you just have to shit?
That gets everything going. Your digestion. It's like when you drink coffee. For our drummer, it's when she drinks coffee and smokes a cigarette, it's like instant.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah. It's like
she stands up and she goes, "I'm going to take a shit." And we're like, okay.
Immediately. Or you could run 10 miles.
Yeah.
I'll just smoke a cigarette. One or the other. I think
it's like an every mile kind of thing. It's like your body's just like, whoa. Yeah.
It's like a hot air balloon. You have to drop sandbags to keep afloat because the air is getting colder inside of your body.
Because unless you're really trained, it's not natural to run that much. And I'm not I'm not a finely tuned.
You didn't
athlete,
train at all for the Hood to Coast?
No, I did train.
Ran it cold?
But what? Yes, no problem.
I can do this.
I'm shitting a lot, but I'll do it.
No, but I'm not like I'm not a finely tuned machine. I'm just, I ran for like 5-6 weeks and I got through it.
Yeah.
So I think that the physical trauma makes your body think maybe we're being poisoned now. And so we need to get everything out.
Yeah.
Like this is not normal for us physically. Yeah. There's a chance we've been poisoned. Let's just eject everything from.
You could drink. You could start drinking while you're running, and then you'd just be
Some
puking.
Some people do that.
Really?
Some people
They're just
do
like,
that.
Fuck it, I'll puke instead of shit. Is that a trade-off?
Yeah.
And I'm drunk, and it's harder to run.
Can we file this under a hot garbage beauty tip? Like,
yeah.
Just run.
Yeah.
Like, run into the forest and.
Yeah, even if not even if you want to, you know, not even for beauty tips, even if you're just like a little backed up, you know?
You don't need laxative.
Run from the mountain to the ocean.
Yeah.
You'll be
and
fine.
I think you'll run take more shits than coast. You have fingers to count them.
Yes.
That's my guess.
It's probably gonna.
What do you think the learning curve was with Hood to Coast, though, like to where they found the right number of honey buckets? Do you think it was like a tragic
They have not gotten there yet because you'll get to several stops where everyone's in line like, oh, my God, they're out of toilet paper. All of these are out of toilet paper. And everyone is just like panicking. There's like everyone's like a cold sweat in the line. And then someone will come from their car with a roll, and they'll just pass it along.
And it's just a cheer.
So I handed the roll to probably a 50-year-old Asian woman behind me, and she goes, "Oh, in China, you always have to have toilet paper in your purse. I can't believe I forgot it now." So apparently, that's a thing too. But it's the shitting really brings everyone together in that experience.
Yeah, that's the big part of hookah culture you don't hear about until you run it.
That's right.
Like. Yeah, they probably don't want that.
And when you get to the coast, it ends at a pig in a pan, and the pig and pancake. You can get picked in a blanket and just tuck her right out and take your little nap after your long run.
It's beer. It's all beer at the end.
Really, it is?
Oh, yeah, man. They have a big beer garden.
I wish it was at the pig and pancake. That place is great.
In your mind, it is. You can go there. You don't need the hooded coast. You can just drive past them. It's carry some good toilet paper so you look like a celebrity. You're like...
Yeah, you
I just park a good like block away from Pig and Pancake and run up and go, "Woo, hooked and ghost!" Just all the time.
You're like, "Where's my 5 hours ahead?"
I finally made it.
They're like, "Sir, it hasn't started yet."
And you're in Seaside. It doesn't end here. Where does it end?
It ends at Seaside.
Okay,
you're right.
You're in Lincoln City. That's where another Pig and Pancake is. Or Astoria. That's the good one.
Travelers are getting a lot of very specific eating advice on this episode. Yeah. Like,
very regional.
Yeah. Hyper regional eating advice.
Yeah.
Andy, I should ask the two of you. Would you be okay playing a game? Would you be open to playing a game?
Yeah.
Man, I think you like this. This is a chance to be punny and clever.
Is it about sandwiches?
It's not about sandwiches. It's really a blank. It's an empty canvas. It's a game we call License Plate Detective. So Andy, in his daily travels out in the world, will come across vanity plates very often that are very obviously vanity plates, but he has no idea what the person is trying to say. So he'll record those and he'll share them with us, and we just try to help him understand what people might have been going for.
Oh, I'm so gonna be so good.
No
at
wrong
this.
Answers. Many of them could be, you know, like 420 BLT. There you go. That's a real softball for you.
That is a great sandwich.
Exactly. So when you're really high, you eat a BLT.
It's a great license plate.
Mm-hmm. It's available.
This was a weird one I saw the other day.
Okay.
The letters LN, and it was all the way over to the right.
Far right.
It wasn't even centered.
It's a power move.
Yeah, I didn't know you could choose the orientation of your letters.
That's the next generation.
They stole that car, for sure.
But I don't know what it means. Like lane? Blank lane?
I think it means lean. Like they do a lot of lean.
Like the codeine?
The license plate leans over.
Codeine and Sprite?
It's like leaning really far to the left.
Yeah.
It's
like skirt.
He's a leaner. He's taking, he's got the skirt.
They're drifting, and it's just that lean.
You're only going to see that portion of the license plate anyways, because they're always Tokyo drifting around Portland.
Yeah. Exactly.
Just lean, and you only see it when I'm on
If you're looking
wheels.
At this license plate, get prepared to be drifted.
Yeah,
you're about to be drifted.
You're about to get drifted on.
Lean. Yeah, case closed. It's detective work. What's the next one, Andy?
Mardel. M-A-R-D-E-L.
Oh, man.
That sounds like someone's great-grandma's maiden name.
Oh, Grandma Mardel.
Yeah.
That's somebody needs
Debbie
to
Mardel.
Not forget their password, so they turned into license plate.
Yeah, was one of the Mardel. Was the A an at sign?
Was it wasn't. No, it was all normal.
And were two of them lowercase. Yeah.
Mardel.
Mardel. God, they make me change this every 6 weeks. I need to immortalize this one. I like that one.
Oh, here's one that leaves nothing to the imagination, but it made me laugh super hard.
Nutsack.
That would, too. My, space, P-A hyphen C. My posse.
Damn.
What, they got a hyphen in there as part of it? You can get a hyphen?
You can get a hyphen.
Wow. This is getting off the rails.
Yeah.
You need to be... the point of Vanity's Place is you play within this like very specific set of... It's like when you get magnets with letters on them and you lose half. You know, you got to do your best. But my posse, that's with a hyphen?
Yeah.
That's cheating.
Yeah, that one was just like, okay, I know what you're trying to do, and it's cute, but...
Where is that person's posse, though? Are they in the car?
No, it was one person. So
that person has their own posse.
They want their own posse, but they don't have
one. I think
one
that
yet.
Was a memorial plate. I think their posse passed. I think that they lost a posse.
I think they missed out on the chance to spell my pussy, but they spelled my posse.
I was thinking that, too.
Yeah. That'd be way tighter.
Ooh, my posse.
My posse. Yeah.
They could have a bumper sticker that says that'd be way tighter after it, too, and it would totally all bring the whole thing together.
Was that a vagina joke?
Yes,
it was. Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool, wow. I
on it. You missed your opportunity for a sandwich joke.
Yeah, like a pita pocket or something like that.
Damn it.
The different kind of sandwich. I don't know.
This bitch.
Here's another one for you.
Okay.
It's, and then the space, and then BNB.
BN as in Nancy B.
Mm-hmm.
It's BNB. So it's, well, I don't know about the N. I was going to say it's Britney, bitch, but.
I was going to say Big Nasty Bertha.
Oh. Big Nasty Bertha. I like that. I was going to say it's bed and breakfast.
Fresh out of prison.
My car is a mobile bed and breakfast.
I live in my car and you can rent a room in it.
Yeah.
It could be owned by a Big Nasty Bertha.
You can drive that from every pig and pancake. Love Big Nasty Bertha.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the company car for the pig and blanket.
Yeah.
I like Big Nasty Bertha, though. Also a seaside restaurant that I go to. Talking about BLTs, they've got delicious BLT at Big Nasty Bertha's. Six slices of bacon.
Have I brought this one up? H2O Boxer?
Water boxer?
No space. H2O Boxer. Is that a person that only boxes underwater?
I don't know, I feel like he's angry at water, and I'm like, you need that to live.
But he resents that.
Yeah, you fight water, you're going to lose.
Takes his rage out by punching water.
I'm going to say he culturally appropriated The Last Airbender.
He's a waterbending boxer.
Yeah, see, and he was like, I'm taking it, make it mine. It's me.
Yeah, could be.
You're pretty good at this. Have you thought about being a licensed pet detective?
I think you are one.
I think I was born
These
this
are all
way.
Alyssa's cars. They all had shit on them at one point.
These are all shit-smeared Corollas. Let's go with one last one, Andy. We got all time for one more.
K-S space E-N-V-I.
E-N-V-I. K-S E-N-V-I. So Kansas Envy?
Yeah.
Like people who are really jealous of that are if you're from Kansas.
Ooh,
that a big barbecue lover and just like, man, I love that Kansas City barbecue.
So envious of Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
Envy. Wow.
I'm leaving this to you.
That one's got me stumped. I'm going to say that they couldn't spell. Mm. They messed something up. They were just like, they got stressed out because the Google cart passed them.
Yeah.
They just wrote shit in real quick.
Yeah.
They're like, Keith Sweat.
Keith
Sweat. Yeah. Envy, his new album coming to you. It's a weird viral marketing.
Also his scent.
Just put it out
Keith Sweat. Envy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Smelling of sweat.
Yeah. Or Kelly Slater.
I saw
professional surfer, and he was in town, and that specific Toyota car, I was going to say a specific one, and I completely lost my brain, is his model. It's the Envy. People are envious of how he slashes them curls, bruh.
Oh, I get it now. You're supposed to whisper
but
Envy.
He's also friends with H2O Boxer.
He might be. Yeah. They might be on the same wavelength.
Yeah. The same person.
Yeah, they might be the same person.
H2O Boxing happens on the surfboard, so it's a natural synergy between those two.
Also plays in a new metal band.
Yeah. Or KS could mean cool surfer, and they spell K with a cool with a K because it's way cooler.
That is way cooler.
Way cooler.
Mm-hmm. Cool surfer Envy. That person wants to be a surfer, and they're envious of cool surfers. Well, that was a great way to end that.
Yeah. Although that last one might be like your serial killer case that like haunts you your entire career. Cause
I'm going to see it and I'm going to knock on their window and I'm gonna be like, what does that mean? like I'm not even going to try and guess this shit. What
and
happened?
If they don't tell you, you know what you have to do, right?
Yeah.
You know what
Wait
you
for
have
them to
do.
Like
I would come with one in the chamber, if you know what I mean. You know, just in case.
I would get a tall glass of milk.
Right? Yeah. I would just be wiping that with my mustache off before I walk
just
up.
Putting
in the car.
Your cigarettes out in the milk.
Yeah, just
like,
all right, let's do this. I'm getting an answer.
Mm-hmm.
Just like a camel pack
Fred
full
Meyer
of coffee.
Cafeteria. Getting just a hot peats.
Popping some chocolate laxative. I'm like,
corner them in a place that you know you can go use their bathroom. Like, pick a nice hotel lobby or something.
Hawthorne.
I've always known my
You could have a business meeting and a poop there. It's a really versatile space.
And a hot pizza.
Yeah. I know you brought one more song to play. What's the third track that you brought this evening?
Chemical Tomb. Off of our recent album. Also called Chemical Tomb.
This is the one that came out this January? Do I have that right?
It came out in March.
March, okay. Which is like, you know,
same thing.
The January of spring.
Mm-hmm. Basically.
Mm-hmm.
Well, true psychics start to feel a heavy release a couple of months before. So, January. Yeah.
We only follow the moon
I understand.
Like, this is like...
Oh, I'm so glad it came back. When that eclipse happened, I thought we were going to lose our moon, and I was so sad. I mean, I always took it for granted. I was like, fuck you, moon. You're so good up there in the sky. Turns out, we need that fucker.
Yeah, big yeah. time.
Yeah, real shit got bad. Weird. Was anybody else really stressed out as well? It was like, what the fuck? Like, everything is instantly creepier.
Well, once it got a little dark, you could see all those radiation lines that we're all absorbing all the time, and I put on a tinfoil hat, and I haven't taken it off since. Not getting my brains.
There's a surmountable amount of people downtown, like,
doing crack.
We were on the rooftop of
WeWork.
You seem
to find crack, or crack finds you. I've never seen someone smoke crack, and it's happened to you many times.
It's where my work is.
Okay.
There's a lot of crack.
It's in the crack district.
Yeah. Yeah, it's in the crack district of the Pearl District. It's the Cracky Pearl.
Yeah. That people don't know that the Pearl District is named after Pearly White Crack.
That's why it's the Pearl District.
I feel like Allie's license plate would say CRKDADI.
Wow.
Wait, what, CRK, what was the second part?
DADI?
DA.
Crack daddy. Crack
daddy.
I think it's available. I love crack daddy.
No, that's like, definitely that's taken.
Mine would just say sandwich.
I'm just going to, like, I'll throw that out there. Like, I'm going to get that. I'm going to buy our.
It's $125. That's how much it costs. I looked into this. I've done so much crack daddy. Detective work. Is $125 for a license plate.
The Skull Diver van is now going to have a license plate.
If you see crack daddy, you know what to do.
Crack.
It's us.
Fire
it's my
up,
car.
Smoke him if you got him. It's hammer time. Oh, man.
There's your episode title. Well, okay. I've already forgotten the name of the song.
It's Chemical Tomb. It's also about crack. Oh.
Well, blaze up your butane torches. Here comes Crack Daddy.
Thank you.
Well, I feel like we just got started, but we're kind of already out of time. Thank you guys both for being on the show this evening. We really appreciate it.
Yeah.
I'll have to have you come back because I feel like there's a lot of territory left to cover.
We've got stories for days.
We didn't talk Taco Bell, though.
Yeah, we didn't talk Taco Bell at all.
Okay, mm-hmm. there's always time for Taco Bell. Mm-hmm. What do we need to say about Taco Bell?
I just want to hear your order, your dream order.
Oh my God. Okay, so this is...
We talked about the dream order on the way here, actually.
What
we would do at the Vegas Taco Bell Chapel.
Yeah, we're going to go see. Oh, look, we really want to score that $500 Taco Bell sponsorship. So bless up Taco Bell.
Yeah.
Skull Divers, your girls. Because we want to take it all to the Taco Bell Chapel, and we want to buy every loaded griller.
Is there
can
a Taco
make.
Bell Chapel? Like, there's an actual.
There is.
There
in
is
Las
in Vegas.
Vegas.
They serve alcohol.
I miss that.
It's legit.
It's going to be that the fucking DJ pool, and I couldn't believe it.
It's the best night of our life.
It's also a nude bell.
Taco Bell. Like,
I hope so. It's about to be.
It's a nude bell?
I hope so.
All right. Good.
Oh, can I tell you about the
loaded grillers, though?
That had very interesting.
This is a good one.
Yes, I would like to know. So this is you're going into a Taco Bell, and he finds out the person working there finds out you're musicians.
Mm, he sees the glitter, and he asks what we were up to, and we told him we were playing a show, and he says, "What kind of music do you play?" And this guy's, he's maybe, you know, getting close to 50, and he's a bit of a nerd, which I have a soft spot for nerds. Like, I love them so much. And he goes, "What kind of music do you play?" And I said, I don't know, kind of a experimental goth pop kind of stuff. And he goes, "Don't like it." I was like, okay,
shut
that's fair
down.
Enough. I go, "What kind of music do you like?" He goes, "Russian." Like, okay.
Czechoslovakian.
What kind of music? Yeah. Okay. I'm like, "What kind of?" And he cuts me off. He goes, "Italian."
Sir, those are countries.
Iranian. And he's like thinking for a long time. I'm like, "Oh, but what kind of music from there?" Australian.
Mm-hmm. Yep, all of Australian kind? Music.
But nothing from the States.
I was like,
I only like goth pop from Australia.
Yeah. Not into it.
Sorry, I only like Russia. Wow. Mm. You're not from Russia. You're not Russia at all. Well, I was sitting in the other seat, just like, man is like about to lose her shit. And I'm just like, "Would you just give me my Baja Blast? I want to go."
And this is
like,
at the drive-thru window, huh?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, it was cool. It was my favorite drive-thru experience of my life because he just started naming countries. Yeah.
The reason why he felt so comfortable is because a really drunk guy on a bike tried to order through the drive-thru. And he started yelling at him. He was like, "You can't order. You're on a bike. You need to be on a car." And the guy's like,
"Which
no,
is
I'm
a
not.
Bullshit fucking rule."
It is. Yeah. Well,
I hate that rule. I've walked up to many drive-thrus and gotten turned away on foot, and I think that sucks.
These are my sir. This is my car. Stop calling me poor.
It's but Portland. You should be able to order on your bike.
Yeah,
definitely on your bike.
Yeah.
The guy on the bike was like, "No, I'm not." He's like, "Sir, I can see you." And we started laughing, and that's when he got real comfortable.
He did the lean against the window. He's like, "All right, my girl's right here."
What kind of music do you play? "Is it Russian?"
"Not into it."
"Don't like it."
"Don't like it."
You're next to that guy on the bike.
Well,
back there.
I really liked him. He was cool.
See, back to the Taco Bell order. I like to play it fast and loose, and I pretty much go with whatever's in the $5 box. Yeah.
Oh, that's fast and dirty for sure.
It is. Mm-hmm. The one thing that they've done lately that I think sucks is they've replaced the bean burrito with a Doritos logo taco. And what? Then you get a crunchy taco and a drink and whatever the main thing is.
Whatever
the newest hottest potato-rito to come out is.
Yeah. It's always the same thing in the different shell.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I love that flavor, though. Oh, yeah.
Well, what is the order? What's the go-to? It doesn't have to be your dream order from the chapel. That could be something special. But what's the, you know, the everyday grinded-out order?
The loaded potato griller. And then just for a while there, it was the chicken chips with extra cheese.
I don't know what chicken chips mean. You've said that twice now. You've said chicken gloves and chicken chips.
Chicken
and
chips.
Neither have made sense to me.
They
chicken chips
chicken
came
chips.
Out after the naked chicken taco. They were the next chicken incarnate.
Oh, so they still exist?
No, they were limited time. They were triangular, flat pieces of chicken you dipped in cheese.
Oh, well, that sounds pretty good. Okay. It's
triangle nuggets.
Yeah.
Basically cool. with
all of a sudden,
cheese.
Taco Bell had nuggets.
Like Burger King did those chicken fries.
No, those are an abomination.
Those are an abomination.
Those suck.
Yeah. That's like hood to coast levels of diarrhea right there.
Something about Burger King.
It's
We've gone
trashy.
Way off track. Burger King can fucking die.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it has lost the fast food wars, and their fryers have been sabotaged. Anything that comes out of a fryer there sucks now. Their French fries are poop.
Just bringing it back.
Yes. Not to get too political, but Burger King's fries are poop.
The Burger King by our house caught on fire, unfortunately. And Allie and I were like, we felt really bad for them. Like, they're already Burger King.
Yes. Oh, man. Here's another pro tip for you, real quick.
Not far from here, someone threw a rock through their window. Mm-hmm. It really.
That one by Taco Bell is so sad.
That one is
sad. It's just sitting there. It refuses to go out of business, but there hasn't been a customer in years.
No, except for me, every once in a while, just trying to give them a second chance, and they always fuck it up.
Fuck you over every time.
Yeah, but you know
what?
They
really do have terrible
service. Here's a hot pro tip about Burger King. If you're wearing jeans right now, take your Bic lighter, burn your jeans just for a second, and then smell it. It smells exactly like fucking Burger King. I think their jeans have denim in them.
Their jeans have denim in them?
Let's burn your pants and walls. Sniff.
Smell some BK.
Fucking smells like Burger King.
Flame broiled pants.
I think they're flame broiled with
conspiracy butane. Theory here. Okay.
Oh, okay. I like where this is going.
Late on his
Burger
daddy.
King conspiracy. Never any customers. Where does all the leftover food go? Jeans.
There it is.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
Just before, yeah. Where do all dropped the leftover the conspiracy bomb in the world go? Yeah. To the burgers.
I feel like there's way more leftover Burger King than there is jeans.
I thought it was the Burger King that was making my fart smell, but my farts just smell like Burger King.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Okay. Yeah.
That's what it's happening.
Wow.
Definitely
my mind is blown.
See?
Yeah.
We really, like, you know, expanded our minds today.
Yeah.
I think we did, too.
I think so, too. Yeah.
I hope we made people want to listen to Skulldiver, because that was a big goal that we had.
Yeah, that was
in.
My main thing.
If people are interested in doing that, play. What's the best place for them to find you and find what you're up to?
The Google.
Just do it.
Just do the Google of the Skulldiver music, and it'll probably send you to skulldivermusic.com. Or you can type it in anywhere, and we're not the people who are diving, and we're not the metal band, so we're the girl band that's in there under Skulldiver.
Yeah, and it's worth everybody's time, because it's awesome stuff. Thank you so much for coming out and putting up with us and rolling with the punches, talking sandwiches.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. I love sandwiches.
And playing some great music. We appreciate it. And you'll be on tour in October. What's the next time people can see you in the Portland area?
September 22nd at Bunk Bar with Child Speak and Kalulu.
Yeah. Oh, or
fantastic.
That's an awesome place to see a show, and what a great lineup that is. That'll be great. So that's September 22nd at Bunk Bar.
And then there's also Rom Toms.
Yeah, our tour kickoff on, when you say this one, I don't know.
We're hosting a spooky bitch ball at Rom Toms on October 15th. It's free.
That is awesome.
And it's outside. And there'll be a prize for whoever's the spookiest bitch in the audience.
Who else is playing that one?
Sweeping Exits and Dark Spoon.
Awesome. Great. Well, thank you both again. Really appreciate you being here. And thank all you for listening to this episode of Hot Garbage. We greatly appreciate it. If you like what you heard, please be sure to subscribe to the show. You can do so by visiting iTunes. It'll come to you every Thursday or Friday. You know, we're not...
Sorry, guys.
We're not like a machine sometime. Here. You know, it'll happen Thursday or Friday, right, man? Yeah. Just don't shit on my car about it. It'll be there Thursday or Friday.
Yeah, if you subscribed, you wouldn't even have to worry about it.
Hey, man, you're going to get an episode this week. I promise. We're good for it. But that would mean a lot to us. If you like the show, also please tell a friend or a family member about it. Leave us a review while you're subscribing to us on iTunes. It all helps people discover the show and helps Andy, Nate, and I line those pockets with that cheddar.
Oh, man, that's sweet cheddar.
Andy, take us home on a hot jam.
Ooh, this one comes from the shit I fucked up and missed file. This is from a couple years ago. This is a Virginia.
You guys heard of these guys?
Yeah.
I did not get on that one.
Do you guys know about grunge? This is a rapper from Virginia named Shaboozy. And, man, this is just really good. This is off of an album he put out a couple years ago, and the song's called Winning Streak.
For Mandy and Allie of Skulldiver, for Nate, and for Andy, this is Drew. We'll see you next week on Hot Garbage.
This is how I feel to have a winning streak, baby. Rocket shit you can't pull off. Black Chelsea Bulls, huh? Win, Louis Vuitton. You clipping cool points, think it's a cool.
just hit the roof off. Used to sleep on a futon. Rings got a few on. Got gold like a leprechaun. My girl got a leopard on. She rockin' ball with me. She on the road with me. Do a show every day. Ain't been home in weeks. Pull off in an F-150. Just left Kansas City. Ain't got no time for sleep. Ain't got no time for freak. Money is all I need. She love me, yes indeed. I'm so sorry, baby. Can't be there when you want me to be. Only want me for my jeans. Please stay off my team. You're standing on whose lawn? Thought I could roll you there on. Had to get my mom that crib. Look at all the things I did. Put my whole city on. This is how I feel to have a winning streak, baby. Rocket shit you can't pull off. Black Chelsea Bussin. Win, Louis Vuitton. You clicking coupons. Think it's a coup. Just hit the roof off. Call me while I'm in the session. I said, can you give me a second? She said, I got something to tell you. Said, baby, this ain't the confession. Just give me a minute. Know that you lying to me when you say that you don't talk to no other bitches. I get it, I get it. Let's just be finished. I'm tired of being treated like this. This is how I feel to have a bittersweet, baby. One day we all good, the next day you wanna end it all, baby. You're killing me. Never be famous. I hated my dues, I paid it, I waited my heart, I laid it, this life, I made it. Hey, shorty way out my league, now I'm 5'17", my teams. I won't beg and plead, I am all you need. Stop playing games with me, my penny lane indeed. Make my pen game great indeed. This is how I feel to have a winning streak, baby. Rocket shit you can't pull off. Black Chelsea Bussin. Win, Louis Vuitton. You clicking coupons, think it's a coup. Just hit the roof off. This is how I feel to have a winning streak, baby. Rocket shit you can't pull off. Black Chelsea Bussin. Win, Louis Vuitton. You clicking coupons, think it's a coup. Just hit the roof off.